Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I want to read again verse 1 of this passage. We are dealing with the biblical approach to problem solving. I have, over the years, watched as individuals in life, people I've known, people that are in positions of authority in colleges, universities, people in authority in churches, in government agencies, that their approach to problems was not a biblical one. And as a result, many times the problem never gets handled. And as a matter of fact, it gets worse instead of getting better. We see this in society today with so many things. Just look at California for just a few moments. What's happening in that state? You have the major cities clogged with homeless people. And it's not just because they can't get a job and they can't afford to live in the state, which is a real problem, but most of them are drug addicts or alcoholics. The streets are covered with feces. And how do they handle the problem? Superintendent in San Francisco said this week, we're going to really address this problem. We're going to put portable toilets on every street corner. And we'll also have a portable shower established for them. Now, is that dealing with the problem? Anybody think that's dealing with the problem? No. Who wants to walk down your city street and go past, you know, porta pot after porta pot, shower after shower, tent after tent? Now, my heart goes out to those people. Don't get me wrong. You know what those people need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be born again. And we're gonna deal with that this morning in the morning worship service in regard to Thanksgiving. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Whenever you don't deal with a problem, the problem gets worse and worse. And so what's happening? More and more people are flocking to California that have those problems because they know they're not going to get thrown out like they've been thrown out in other places. And so the problem never gets handled. I want to deal with that. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Who is the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Now, thing is what was used to translate the Hebrew word, but a better English word is problem. Who knoweth the interpretation of a problem? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. We looked at last time the Amplified Bible on this. See if I can get to that. If you'll notice it up on the screen there. Who is like the wise man and who knows the interpretation of a problem? A man's wisdom illuminates his face and causes his stern face, due to the problem that he's facing, to beam. Now, how does that happen? How does that take place? Well, because he has wisdom. He has wisdom. And because he has wisdom, he can understand the problem, first of all, and then understand how to handle the problem that he is facing. Now, I want to skip past some of this because it's just review from last time that we were there, but I did want to just remind you of this. In life, I find that there are often many solutions to a given problem. Some are more effective than others. Some are more appropriate than others. When faced with a difficult problem, do not assume you know the answer from the start. Don't jump to conclusions. Here's where we get into trouble. When we start dealing with problems that we face, and we're talking about every imaginable type of problem. All problems have a common connection. Does anybody know what it is? It's called the curse of sin. It all goes back to that. The problems work out from that because in Mark chapter 7, as we learned on Wednesday night with Dr. Watt's message, all problems come from within. That's what corrupts. It's not the outward things that are out there, because all those outward things came from somebody's corrupt heart. The Bible makes that very clear. It comes from within. And so you have to be careful that you don't jump to a conclusion and assume you know the answer to it. You need to seek out the Lord's face. You need to take time to understand what the problem or question is truly about before handling it and applying some solution or answer. God's leading in the timing and handling of the problem is preeminent. Do not assume everything is a nail and therefore I pull out my hammer to use. Okay? You ever heard of a hammer mechanic? Okay? Every problem on a car can be solved with a hammer. All right? Does that work? No, it doesn't. All right? It doesn't work. There are some things that you can use a hammer for on a car, but not everything. And so when you start assuming that everything is a nail, and I'll just pull out my problem solver, my hammer, all right? Wham, wham! You know what happens when there are a lot of nails? Do you usually hit the nail right on the head when there's a lot of nails around there? You start missing and nails start bending, and you don't take care of the problem. You know, when you're doing cabinetry work, do you want to see smiley faces all over the board where the hammer hit? I'm so thankful today that they've got these nice air nailers that'll take and they will drive this thin piece of metal in there and it will hold it and you'll just barely see a little bit of a hole and you can take a little wood putty and fill it in and you don't even notice. A more appropriate answer, rather than taking a big nail and sitting there hitting on it, and then you drive it in and all of a sudden there's a big impression, a smiley face we call it. You don't get those out. You putty, 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 putty all you want to, but all of a sudden the grain's all gone because you had to fill in your big smiley face that you put there. So we have to be careful. Last time we looked at what can I do about those problems that come my way? I have no control over. But there are problems which I meet as I travel down life's road. How do I handle those problems? What can I do about those problems that are in my way? Problems which are unavoidable and which I bump into as I go down the road of life. I was thinking about Royden and Danielle and Lucian and Maud Saul. You know, we get in our cars and we drive to Walmart. We don't worry about gangs stopping us. We don't worry about there being roadblocks with tires on fire and wonder whether we're going to make it to Walmart, or if we do make it to Walmart, are we going to make it back home? But that's how they live every day. You know, that's affected my prayer life for them. I pray a lot differently for Royden and Danielle and Lucian and Maude and that ministry there. Because whenever they get up in the morning and they get in their truck to go into town to try to find some bread, there's a very distinct possibility that they're going to get stopped and turned around and no bread for that day. Because that's how things are in Haiti. Now they have to face a problem that's in their way. They have no control over it. It's something that they face, but they have some real problems that are caused by that. And one of them is, what are we going to have to eat? So for them, praying the prayer that the Lord told the disciples to pray, Lord, give us our daily bread, is a real problem that's taken before the Lord. What can I do about those problems that are for my way? Have you ever thought about that? Some people think that every problem that comes our way is from the devil. I got news for you. God will create some problems for you. He'll create some problems. Yes, the devil does cause problems, but sometimes the Lord will work some circumstances because He's got some lessons that He wants to teach you and to bring you about where you'll turn back to Him instead of where you're going. Problems which God has sent for my good and His glory. Not every problem is meant to be solved. Some are just meant to be handled. And I want to emphasize that, because if you don't understand that, you'll spend all of your time trying to solve every problem. And some problems cannot be solved on this earth. You understand that? Only Jesus can solve them. Only, there will not be peace on this earth until Jesus Christ rules and reigns with a rod of iron. Do I hear an amen? Now, I can aspire to peace. I can seek to have peace in my home. But there will not be peace on this earth. That problem is not going to be solved. Oh, there are thousands of others. Some problems are just meant to be handled. Do you know the difference between solving a problem and handling a problem? Very, very important. Let me just give you a few examples. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Was that thorn ever solved? No. That problem in his flesh was not solved in his body in his lifetime. Now, how did he make it? All problems are to be solved. No, not all problems are to be solved. Some problems are just handled. And how did God handle the problem? He cried out to God 3 times, we're told. And God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength will be made perfect in your weakness." That problem was handled. It wasn't solved, but it was handled. I think about number two, the Jews in the book of Esther, who still had to fight to stay alive. Look at Esther chapter 8, verses 7 through 14, where the king declares that the Jews could fight back against because the decree couldn't be changed. He couldn't just say, "Okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake." No, law of the Medes and Persians had to happen. But he said, "I'm going to allow the Jews to fight back." And that's what they had to do. Now, would it have been a lot nicer if he'd have just put we forgive all the Jews, no fighting, no war, everything's good now? Wouldn't that have been easier? Yeah, but you know what the Jews had to do? They had to deal with the problem that was created by a king. It was outside of their doing. It was in their way, but they had to deal with the problem. It wasn't easily solved. Paul and the false accusations and charges which sent him to Rome before Caesar. And by the way, when you read the book of Acts, I see a whole series of problems. I see Peter in jail. I see Paul and Silas in jail. You read the book of Acts and it's just one series of false accusation, another false accusation, a woman running up to Paul who is demon-possessed, creating all kinds of problems for him. Paul didn't need that. By the way, if you want to know what the reality of the Christian life is, read the book of Acts. Because you find in the book of Acts, that's how real Christians live in this world. We have to face opposition. We may face jail time. We may face all kinds of problems that are not of our doing. But none of those problems were easily solved, and Paul had to go to Rome. And he was executed. Romans 8, 26 through 28 principles. I want to share those with you this morning. Number one, our weakness. Would you turn there, please? I know it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but let's turn there because I want you to see how these all fit together, the context of these verses. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What would be another name for infirmities? Would you call it problems? Yeah. Troubles? Absolutely. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that's a stunning statement right there. And it has been an admonition to me through the years. That as I grow in the Christian life, I still have a problem. And it's this. I don't know how to pray. Paul did not say that the problem was going to be solved here, that we would all come to learn how to pray. No. The problem was handled. God gave His Holy Spirit to us to teach us what? How to pray. So we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us to know how to pray. That's the picture that's given to us here in verse 26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those are some important caveats in that verse. All things work together for good. That sounds great, except you got to read the rest of the verse. Work together for good for whom? The ones who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's the ones that everything works out for to good. So we have to follow the Word. So let's look at these principles. Our weakness, our problem, includes physical problems and or sufferings. We're going to face those things. They'll have to be handled. Some of them are not always solved. Should we pray for deliverance or endurance regarding our problem? The answer is yes. Did you get that? Should we pray for deliverance or endurance regarding our problem? Yes, we should. Because God may say, you know what? I've got something that I want to work in your life. I want you totally dependent on me because I've got to take you through some things that I want to teach you. And you know what I found? When you've got a serious health problem, you are more dependent on God than you were before you had your health problem. Do I hear an amen? I mean, that's the way it is. I went over to the hospital on Friday. I got a text from Bill. He said, I'm in the hospital. I've got a serious leg infection. Can you come by? And so I went over there and I sat with him in the emergency room. And I want to tell you something. I've seen some pretty awful things in my lifetime, but his leg was just completely black and blue and swollen. And I said, Bill, you've got some kind of a serious infection. He said, yes. He said, they gave me some antibiotics from the doctor a week ago and they haven't worked. And so they had him on some powerful antibiotics. They were working. By the time I got back Friday night to visit with him again, the swelling had gone down. And then by yesterday at 3, they let him go home. But let me tell you something. He wasn't expecting that. And there were no cuts or abrasions. So they don't know what caused the bacterial infection that he has in his leg. But it's a problem. And so I prayed for him for deliverance. And I prayed for him for endurance in the problem. That the Lord would strengthen him and encourage him. That's what the Bible says to do. We know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. We just don't know. And so we have to ask God to understand. We can't see down the road. We have somebody that's going through a very difficult time. We pray for multiple things for them. We don't just pray for we just want deliverance. Well, we want deliverance, but we want God's will done. And we want them to be able to endure and learn whatever lessons God has for them in that particular struggle that they're going through. I believe that there is always a lesson to be learned. Every time, there's something for... And by the way, there's something for me to learn as somebody else is going through it too. That's a reminder. So in our weakness, our problem, we groan by the power of the Holy Spirit, and through them the Holy Spirit intercedes before the Father. And the Spirit knows what to pray for us in every circumstance to bring about, verse 28, that everything will come together for good. The Spirit knows. And so I'm completely and totally, I will pray with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will pray with the Spirit and with the understanding also. Here's another translation. I will pray with spirit-controlled understanding. That's how I'm supposed to pray. Some people get upset. I prayed for that and it didn't happen. Well, you didn't pray correctly. You didn't pray with spirit-controlled understanding because you got a wrong attitude about it. If you prayed with spirit-controlled understanding, you'd have the right attitude about it. And you would understand that God does things and works things that are beyond my understanding or knowledge. And I guarantee if we went around the room, all of you could bear testimony in your life of how God has brought things into your life that you were not expecting. I think about the gays. Has it been 2 years ago since the accident? They were coming back from Alaska 2 years ago. Was it South Dakota you were in when you hit the black ice? Montana, hit black ice, totaled their truck, totaled their camper, completely destroyed. They had to find another vehicle. Somebody, I guess, gave them a vehicle so they could get back home because it was gone. I am sure at that time that, Lord, you know, we were praying for protection. Well, the Lord did protect them, didn't He? Took care of you. There were some bruises and bumps and things. Lord took care of them, and they're here with us today. But I'm sure there are things that you learned in that. I'm sure there's things that we took away from it as well. There always is for the believer, because God works every circumstance for good. So why do we have problems? Why do we have problems? Well, number one, because of who we are. Turn over to Ephesians 2, verse 1. Once again, another familiar verse of Scripture. This chapter is such an instructive chapter for believers as well as for those that are lost. And you hath He quickened. And then what's the last part of that phrase? Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now there's a positive statement about the human. All right? Boy, that'll get you. And you hath He quickened. In other words, He's made you alive because you were dead. All right? You were dead in trespasses and sins. Because of who we are, that's why we have problems. We were born with problems. We were born with troubles. The whole birthing process was a problem because it's part of the curse of sin. It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. And, you know, as a husband, I sympathize with my wife. My wife and I took Lamaze classes. I'll just share this. And I said, you know, I wanted to understand what was going to go on. So I took Lamaze classes, and there were several couples that were with us in there. And I want to tell you, it was the most embarrassing time in my life for Tuesday evenings for about 8 weeks. Okay? You're in there doing these breathing pattern type things, you know. I got to the hospital. Okay? Her water broke in Walmart parking lot with Gregory. Man, we had everything packed. My wife has OCD about everything. We had everything packed in the car. I said, we're going to the hospital. We ran to the hospital and said, you're not ready. What? You're not ready? Man, I've got this Lamaze thing down. Let's get going. So we came back several hours later. Things started happening. We got back to the hospital. And so I, being the good husband that I was, having learned all those things that I was supposed to learn, I said, all right, honey, let's start going through that. And she said, no. What? No. And she was pushing me away. No. You know, and I'm over there, you know, what am I supposed to do? And so I would go, and I said, all right, let's take long, deep breaths. Go away. Okay? I was there to be an encouragement to her. So I went and sat down in my chair, and I just let the nurses and do that. And I said, why did I go through 8 weeks of total embarrassment in front of all these people and couples and so forth like that, you know? But you know what? I thought I was going to help solve a problem. And when I started in on the breathing thing, I created one. Okay? And she just said, go away. Don't do that. All right? And so I went away. And I didn't do that. All right? Because I was making a problem worse. We have problems because just of who we are. Because we are in this sin-cursed body. This body is a body of death. It plays out every day. Things that happen. I was telling the days before, I said, we've just had an unusual number in our church family of hospital visits and sicknesses and things of that nature. And I said, those periods come, you know, and go in the believer's life and in a pastor's life, you know, and my heart goes out to all those that are suffering through those things. And the reason that we do is because we live in a sin-cursed body. And the third thing is this. Because we are in this sin-cursed world. Don't ever forget that. Not only do we have a sin-cursed body, but we live in a sin-cursed world. Look at John 16:33 for just a moment here. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have, everybody say that word, tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, the Lord Jesus says, I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, it seems like it's like watching a tennis ball going back and forth. You ever sat in the middle of the court and you just kind of watch the game going back and forth and you see everybody's heads moving back and forth? And a volleyball, same thing. You'll watch the balls over there, boom, 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 you know, back and forth, and you're watching the game. Well, it seems that way with this verse of Scripture. In me you have peace, but in the world, over here you've got tribulation, but be of good cheer. That's the picture that God's given to us here in this verse of Scripture. Because of what? Because I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Let me ask you something. Is that encouraging? It's encouraging to me. I know the Lord Jesus has overcome the world. And knowing that He's overcome the world means that I can have peace in the world. Even though there's trouble, even though there's difficulty. One of the things that Royden, when he texted me last night, said, we know that people have been praying. We have been offered by three different churches a safe haven in the United States to come if things get too bad. But you know what he said? We have no plans to leave because we have the peace of God in our hearts. What a testimony. I'm not living through the circumstances that they are. Now, I've been to Haiti, and I've seen the squalor. I've seen the children on dump piles going through it, rummaging for food. I've seen that. But I haven't had to live in it day after day after day after day after week after month after year. And here's a man that says, we have no intention of leaving because we have the peace of God in our hearts. That's real Christian living. That's real Christian living. So let's move on. God solves problems. We, on the other hand, just handle them by His grace. Have you ever thought about it that way? I am convinced of this more than anything else. My job is not to run around solving all the problems. You know, the United States have been trying to run around solving all the problems in other countries for years. And you know what happens? Another problem comes up. Why is that? Why is it that we can deal with the Taliban and we deal with the jihadis and then all of a sudden ISIS pops up and they take over those territories and they're beheading people? And you saw the horrible pictures that came out that time. And now we've handled ISIS. Guess what? Guess what? Now we have to deal with Iran and all the problems they're having. Now right now, things are not going well in that country. And it wouldn't surprise me if they have an overthrow of the government here before too long, because they've had enough of not having enough food or not having enough fuel. They went to gas rationing yesterday there, and now they got riots going on. But we're dealing with more and more problems. We've got China. We've got North Korea. I mean, we could go down a long, long list of all the problems. All we do is handle problems. Who solves problems? God does. And the problem of eternity was solved in Jesus Christ for me and for you that know the Lord Jesus Christ. God solves problems. We just handle them. That's all we can do, is handle problems, do the best we can by His grace. And aren't you thankful for His grace that instructs us and helps us? So, I want to give you 9 problem causers. And we're not going to get through, but just 1 or 2 of them here today. Problems come because of ignorance. Problems come because of ignorance. Now, would you look over with me to 2 Kings chapter 17? 2 Kings chapter 17, look at verse 26. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and hast placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore He hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Now what had happened? these Assyrians had come in, and they had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And so they said, we're just going to go ahead and live here. We're going to control this area. You know what God did? Because of their paganism and because of their worship of these pagan gods, the Lord just started rounding up lions and sending them in there. And the people made a connection. The leaders made a connection. They said in verse 26, we know not the manner of the God of the land. Now they were used to solving their problems with paganism. We'll just create a new God for this particular problem. We'll create a new God for that. You know, we have problems with the air, and they said, so we'll have a God for that. We have a problem with the sun and sunspots, things of that nature. We'll have a God of the sun. And all these different things. You'll notice that in these polytheistic cultures, that they had a multiplicity of gods, and there always was a God to deal with a particular what? Problem. And they had lions coming in, killing the people, and they said, it's because we know not the manner of the God of this land. What was it? Problems were caused because of their ignorance. Their ignorance. Proverbs 4 and verse 19. You don't need to turn there. I'll read that. Proverbs 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't have any idea. Why is it that we have so many problems in our country? Because the wicked try to find the answers, but they're stumbling around in the darkness. They can't see. They cannot see. It's an amazing thing to witness how liberal and conservatives too. I don't need to think, but mainly you see it so much in the liberal districts of our country. They don't know how to deal with problems. They're absolutely devoid of any kind of problem-solving skills. And you know why? It's because they've rejected this book. And they know not the manner of the God of the land. That's the problem. They don't know any different. And so problems come because of ignorance. They have no idea. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. God wants us to know. Read about that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, that God doesn't want us to be ignorant. But He wants us to know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Boy, there's a lot packed in that particular thing. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be knowledgeable. Second thing, and we'll close with this. Problems come because we fail to pay attention and act wisely. We fail to pay attention and act wisely. Well, it's been over 10 years ago now. I was sitting at the light where Ollie's is and Sonic's. I was facing toward the west, and Elizabeth was in her back booster seat, and I was taking her out. It was going to be daddy and daughter time, and I was taking her out. Well, the boys were jealous because I'd been doing that with them for years, and so I said, Lizzie, I'm going to take you down. We're going to have some ice cream. And so we were sitting at the light, I had my blinker on, ready to go, and the next thing I know, I hear squalling, brakes, and then, bam, got hit from behind, and the truck that hit us went all the way down the side of the vehicle. And when he stopped, I looked out my window, and there he is. So I rolled down my window. I got it about halfway down, and he rolled down his window. And it was a teenage boy that was in there. And he started hollering and so forth like that. This isn't even my car. This is my grandmother's truck. She's going to kill me. And I said, I want you to pull over there in that back parking lot over there between Ollie's and the restaurant was over there, the Chinese restaurant or whatever. And I said, if you try to run, I'll chase you down because I got all four of my wheels. And I'm looking down at you, and your front quarter panel smashed up on your front wheel. You're not going to be going anywhere fast. Can we just exchange insurance cards? Nope, I'm not going to do that. So he limped his way over behind there. I pulled myself around, and then our lady cop in Milton shows up. And I'm going to tell you something. She doesn't put up with anything. She got out of her car and walked over. Hi, Mr. Brainerd. How you doing? She knows you? That was what I said, yes, I know who she is. Well, that's not fair. He started mouthing, and she walked over to him and said, one more word out of you, and I'm going to put a handcuffs on you, and you're going in the back seat of my car, and we'll have our conversation there. Started doing that. Said, what happened, Mr. Brainerd? I said, I was sitting at the light. I told the story and everything like that. And then he started on a tirade. I mean, just mouthing. And she went over there and got up in his grill, and she let him have it. She said, that's probably not even your vehicle, is it? That's why you're all upset. How did you know? I have to deal with you teenagers all the time. And buddy, she let him have it. Okay? Now, what had he done? He was not paying attention. He was listening. His radio was blasting. And he did not see that the light was red. And so when he tried to put on brakes, he slid to one side and he just peeled the side of the truck down. He wasn't paying attention, and he was not acting wisely. And it cost him. It cost his grandmother. And I'm sure she probably took it out of his hide, too. Let me just close with this. Most of the problems that we have in life are of our own doing. Let's just face it. Call it what it is. We'll look at these other verses of Scripture next time. But folks, I want to tell you, we're living in an age where we are running in circles, chasing our tail. My grandmother used to have a dog named Tiny. Had no tail. It was cut off. I don't know what happened to the dog, but Tiny had no tail. But Tiny would sit there and run and see that little nub sticking up there. Okay? And you just run. Stop. And start running again. Just as fast as she could. And that's what a lot of people are doing in churches all across America. They're chasing their tail because they don't know how to follow God's Word when it deals with the problems of life. They're the cause of most of their trouble. May God help us to solve problems biblically. We're going to get into that, the principles to use when solving problems, and hopefully we'll take away some things that will help us in our Christian life. Father, we thank you so much for these dear people who've given their attention to your Word. We ask today, Father, that you'd work in hearts. Lord, help us not to be chasing our tail, so to speak. Help us, Father, to follow after thee. Help us to have our minds filled with the Word of God. Because so many times the cause of our problem is not somebody else. It's our own self. It's our own heart. Pray, Father, that you would teach us where problems come from, but also how to solve them or how to handle them. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention.